before launching into to a bit of an overview on the four reminders, though, I thought it would be better to do a preliminary reminding that this is the underlying theme of the retreat is spiritual death, and that is there because this is one of the set of meditation retreats for women who've asked for ordination, where we cover the four main aspects of the order system of meditation. So I'm just going to say a little bit that I'm sure it will be to remind you, because I'm sure you'll have come across this before, but it also just places the retreat in a particular context. So this is the theme, spiritual death. So there's four aspects to our system. There's integration, positive emotion, spiritual death, spiritual rebirth. There's a very good little booklet, a little book that Diane Andy got published, actually, and it's got in it talks that were given, five talks that were given on these on the system on an order convention. It was a women's order convention about 5 years ago, and the booklet's up on the bookshop. It's a little orange booklet. You can find it. So there's an introduction there, and then there's a talk on each of the four aspects. And also in the booklet is Bhante's original lecture that he gave when he introduced, or gave, actually, probably is a better word, the system to the order. So it's if you haven't seen it or already, do get a copy. Actually, it is very good. So I'm not going to say loads about the whole system, because there are various places where you can read about them yourself. But I just wanted to say a little bit about how you might think of the system of meditation as a system. How does it work? So first of all, there's no one way that it works. There's always the four aspects, but there's no one kind of model that is the way to think about them. In fact, there's several ways that you can think about the four aspects working together. So I'm just going to briefly say a little bit about that. And then you continue thinking about it yourselves. And you may find that one appeals to you more than others, or you can already see how it works like that in your own meditation practice. I mean, it's certainly like that for me. So first of all, using the flip chart, just make that slightly different. So as I understand this system, there's at least three models that you can use. So the first one is just to think of it as a linear sort of a progression. So think of the four as being, you can think of them as being taking you through a process. So you can think of them as representing four stages on a process. So that's one way to think about them. And there's some truth in that. You can certainly have a sense of that happening sometimes. So the first one then would be integration. That you think of that then as being the basis or a foundation that then makes developing positive emotion that much easier. And with those two in place, integration supporting positive emotion, they both can support the aspect that's spiritual death. And from spiritual death emerges spiritual rebirth. So if you can think of them as like that. So in that kind of model, then what we tend to do is say, okay, so what practices go with integration? What practices go with the aspect that's to do with positive emotion? So mindfulness practice in general, you'd put in with integration. Positive emotion, there's a few things you could put in, but you'd certainly put in the Brahmaviharas practices. Spiritual death could be six element practice, which in all likelihood you won't do until you're on your ordination retreat. But there are also reflections on the Lakshanas, which I've done this retreat on spiritual death before, using that as the content for it. Spiritual rebirth, if you think about the kind of practices that go with that, would be sadhana practice would come under that aspect, or tonglen practice, giving and taking. exchange of self and other, all those sorts of practices would go with spiritual rebirth. So that's one way, that's one model. You tend to think of a kind of a process of that involve four stages, and you tend to think of particular practices that go with each stage. And you probably know at the back of your mind that it's not quite as simple, it's not quite as black and white as that. But on the whole, that's a good enough way to think about it. That can be quite useful. But another way to do it is to put the focus on a particular practice. So you might put the focus on mindfulness practice. Mindfulness of breathing, but other ways in which one practices mindfulness. And then you reflect, what is it in this practice? Or is there something in this practice or my experience of this practice that is helping me become more integrated? Is there something in this prayer? What is there in this practice that actually is a support to positive emotion? Can I get a sense of that? When I'm doing the mindfulness breathing, I'm watching my breath, say, is there something in that that's to do with spiritual death? Is there something in that that's to do with spiritual rebirth? So you see, you kind of do it in, you do it in reverse a bit then with this second model. And you can then do that with any practice. So you could do the same with metta bhavana. You could say, when I do the metta bhavana, what is it in it that helps me become more aware of myself? What is it that I become more aware of in myself when I do that? Does that help me feel more centered in myself? Or again, what is there in the metta bhavana that's connected with spiritual death or spiritual rebirth? Yeah. Bless you, Sujita. So you get, it's a different way of, it's a different, these two are kind of like the one sort of inside out, if you see what I mean. So it's just a different way of looking at it, and it's also really useful. So I mean, like this morning, you know, in the shrine room, Dhammadas, where we are doing the mindfulness of breathing, and Dhammadas said, well, just think, you know, here we are, and it's a theme on, you know, spiritual death, and is there something, you know, is there something in this practice that's akin to that, that makes you think of impermanency? It's kind of clear when you think of it like that, you think, oh yes, because my breath enters, leaves. Then you could think, have I got at all any sense in me that as I breathe out, I might not breathe in again? The answer to that is almost certainly no. But if I ask you, could it be possible? Everyone will say yes. But we probably, you know, we don't have, unless there's a particularly strong reason that, you know, in the near past or in our present, we probably don't think that. So that in itself is just an interesting thing to carry on reflecting. Why not? Because the fact, it is the fact. So, but we don't maybe have that in our awareness. Now, of course, if you're me, you will then think, oh, look, I'd never get anything done. If I went around thinking, I breathe out and I might not breathe out, I'd never get anything done. Well, I certainly wouldn't get some things done. Maybe I should just have a look at those particular things and wonder if I really need to do them quite so much. So, you know, you can go off ahead often to a lot of practicalities, and there is, from a practical point of view, fair enough that I'd sort of think, well, I'd never get anything done. I just can't do that all the time. But if we never have that kind of reflection of breathe out, if the view is always there'll be another in-breath, then that is something just to be aware of. So that's the second model. So then you focus on a particular practice and you just reflect, what is this telling me about integration, positive emotion, spiritual death, spiritual rebirth? How does this practice support it? What happens in me? What's my experience of these four aspects of meditation when I do that practice? So that's the second model. And then there's a third model where the image is like sheaves of corn, so rather amateurish drawing of shades of corn on the flip chart there. So it's a bit more like that. There are four mutually supportive factors. So there you see the four factors, and they're mutually supportive. They're not particularly going through a developmental process. You're not doing this kind of thing with them really either. There you're trying to think, how do these four factors interplay with one another? If one's not there, what happens to the others? If I don't do so much of a practice that's more to do with integration, what happens to the others? Does it go lopsided? The image would say it will go lopsided. So maybe you could take one away, but if you take two away, it'll fall down. So you play around. You can play around with that kind of image, and just as an image, you can play around with it. You know, does it go lopsided and does it fall down? But the actual image itself is just kind of a bit of a further reflection on conditionality. It's like out of those presence of those four factors allows something else to arise. That's the idea. That's the notion behind that image. From those four factors, if they're all present, something else then can arise. So now you've got the question, what can arise? I'll leave you with that question.